Welcome to the DevCon Archives, featuring top sessions from the latest DevCon, which took place in Bangkok in November 2024. These episodes spotlight some of the best talks from the largest Ethereum developer conference, showcasing the technical advancements, mission, projects, and novel ideas shaping the Ethereum ecosystem. All talks have been recorded. You can find them on archive.devcon.org. Let's dive into today's featured talk.
Morning, everyone. A bit quieter after Rave, isn't it? I hope you've had a lovely week. I've had a wild time, and I thought I would take this moment to talk about some of the bigger ideas in crypto. I got very excited about this industry about sort of 7-8 years ago for a few things. I thought it'd be interesting to sort of revisit some of the sort of really interesting ideas, part of which is I think it can coordinate an epistemic revolution. I'm going to tell you what I think that means. So I'll dig into what epistemology is and kind of what I mean by the title, and then I'm going to jump into like prediction markets and info finance, some mechanisms for markets, some mechanisms for our minds, and discuss a little bit about the future of intelligence. So I think we're in a moment of epistemic crisis, and by that I mean I think people are losing their minds. I think people are starting to lose grip of reality, and I think we're going to start to see this effect manifest over the next few years. And what I think is happening is there are kind of epistemology is being corrupted. Now, epistemology is essentially like a lens that you put over the world that views that shapes and biases your reality. So you have a concept of reality, and then your epistemology is what you consider truth within it. So you can consider this, it's like you've put on, when you put on shades, right, and it changes the world. That's what your epistemology is like that. But it's the kind of the entire history of you, your biases, who you are, what you know, what you don't. And everyone has one of these. Has anyone seen They Live? It's a brilliant film. It's a banger. Watch it. 1980s John Carpenter film. And basically, it's a story about this guy who kind of uncovers a plot. And the plot is like these people are trying to distribute these glasses. And when you put them on, it unveils the truth. And he realizes that everyone is being brainwashed. And it turns out there's kind of like these ghoulish aliens have taken over and secretly in control of everything. And interestingly, this is kind of what people think is happening now. People are collapsing their epistemology to a reality where there's like a bad guy. The world is not that simple, right? But people want you to believe there's a bad guy and the bad guy that they want you to believe, right? And that's why truth is under attack. And I think this is like a critically important moment where the kind of tools that we're looking at are just literally brainwashing our minds, right? We are being brainwashed. I know enough about algorithms and social networks and mechanisms to know this is true, right? We are being brainwashed every day. I don't know how anyone looks at TikTok for longer than like 10 minutes. It's insane. But these algorithms are like changing our minds. And they do that because we are kind of like, we are socially constructed. Like I used to work in learning theory for a lot of the time. And this was a big eye-opener for me in terms of like how we learn, right? We used to think that you would just learn by just being told stuff. And it turns out that the best way to learn is to learn together, right? We swap memetic units. We swap memes to each other that we incorporate into our worldview. People can literally change your entire view of the world with a sentence, right? So we learn from each other. And that's happening all the time. And increasingly in the modern world, the kind of deluge and the information complex that we're kind of under is making us sad and upset and is really wrecking our heads in. And I think this is a big problem. The feeds are the new battleground. These two guys have kind of used these things to their own gain in numerous ways. And we are in a world where we're about to take the brakes off A lot of the sort of information world, Donald Trump's talking about like making it illegal to do moderation, basically, on social media networks. And this is a big problem, right? So you've probably noticed that X has just turned into a complete like shithole over the last like year because they've just taken the brakes off, right? And it's just like top grifter every day on the feed. And the most kind of like dopamine-inducing craziness. And the problem is it's going to get worse. And it's going to get worse because of AI. We now have basically set up a pipeline of truth that's served up by an API. Someone asked Rachel Rose O'Leary yesterday what she thought of AI, and she thought it was like a demon that's been unleashed, leeching on our data that's been scraped from us. And she's right. The reality of it is this thing has been basically just like the whole history of human language, but in between it, there's a policy filter. It's a new epistemology for the world.org, right? This is a system that is filtering our reality, and we're outsourcing our truth to an oligopoly. And they're warring with each other for us, right, to shape reality. So how do we coordinate an epistemic revolution where we sort of create a new lens on the world that is closer to the truth? And to do that, we need new sources of truth. We need new information to look at the world that's more objective, more empirical, more evidence-based, more real. So now the technical bit, right? Prediction markets are part of the answer. These have got very hyped recently. I sort of been working on these problems for about 10 years, but I joined crypto full-time 4 years ago to build a prediction market, except it wasn't really a prediction market. It was a little bit different. But the reality of it is there's a lot of work to do. The hype cycle is in full effect, or just was, because of prediction markets, but they're very incomplete mechanisms in my mind. The oracles are very optimistic. Really optimistic. And the reality of it is prediction markets put a bounty on the generation of new information. And if we get this right, then there's a large enough market that the oracles are created for that market that actually have to research which reality we are in. So there's a lot of work to do on the oracles. We need to get better at curating predictors, like plutocratic approaches to prediction markets is like the one coin, one vote of DAOs. There are better ways for doing prediction markets. We need to curate out who are the good predictors. Crowds are not wise, but there is wise people in them. You need to find them. We need to get better at asking questions. We've had one big prediction market because of one question that was made for us. They died 4 years ago because that was the only question that anyone that was found that was interested in this paradigm. So we need to get better at asking the questions. And we need to worry about incentive compatibility. And this is a kind of game theoretic idea where there's like, is everyone revealing their true preferences to the market via the incentives? And actually, there's people in that game, like market makers and bots and airdrop farmers, that are messing with the signal. And we need to worry about the dark side of prediction markets. Some of these things have pretty dodgy and weird outcomes that you should be worried about. And we need to find ways of stopping that from happening. And liquidity is the major limitation, right? We had one massive liquid prediction market. This happened 4 years ago, and then it went dead again, right? And that was because you need a certain amount of liquidity in the market to get out what you need. So I think info finance might be the answer. And what's interesting about this is Vitalik has basically exploded the concept of prediction markets, created a new idea called info finance, and underneath it, there's a whole design space of things that you can use incentives for generating new information. I designed one of these about 4 years ago, one of the first mechanisms I'm going to show you. Essentially, you mint an ID. The reality of it is there are many realities in front of us, right? A lot of prediction markets essentially have this binary choice. So instead of voting with who's got the most money, this is who gets an identity, and you can express a preference across a list of realities. In this case, a bunch of market assets. So you quadratically vote on these, sort your preference, and you go into a kind of competition with other people. So every identity essentially votes on what they think is going to happen in the next day. We use market prices because that's what we actually have oracles for. And then we find out who the winner is. And essentially what you get here is a kind of history of everyone's predictions over time. And what we built here is a permissionless protocol. If anyone wants to hack on this at like ETH Global, join this group or just contact me after. But essentially what we've got here is a system where we know exactly who made good predictions over time on chain. And now anyone can interpret that data and find out who the good predictors are. So the next sort of wave of prediction market mechanisms need to go beyond market mechanisms, right? Because they're not that incentive compatible. We all know the amount of dodgy stuff that happens in AMMs. There's MEV, there's slippage, there's all of these mad things that are impacting the collective intelligence in the system. We need to start thinking about reputation systems to find out who the good predictors are. And we need to incorporate like prediction histories and think about sequentializing prediction markets. There might be an absolute genius in that poly market who knew what was going to happen. And kind of like, there was one guy who literally went out and did on the ground ethnographic research and put $4 million on it and made shit tons of money. Right? That's the guy you want in your next prediction market, and you want to amplify their signal. Right? There might be people that smart who don't have $4 million to ape into like Trump coins, right? So how do you find them? Also, we've got like AI as players in the game, right? Another Vitalikism, but this is definitely going to happen. We're going to get AIs to play in the game and look at how everyone else plays and aggregate the intelligence across the market and be a player themselves. Importantly, we need to validate this stuff scientifically because people are already thinking, well, like Polymarket is truth now. And in fact, it got one thing sort of right, and there is things to it, but like we are far from proving that these, and no one believes in collective intelligence more than me, but we need to empirically prove these things as real and valid and not get too overhyped about them, and we need better oracles and better tokens. Here's a less talked about prediction market, Geo Bowden token. Now, is this a rug? Or did it predict Biden's resignation like months in advance? The reality is we don't know because most meme coins are like bad memes generally and like nearly all rugs. But they could be prediction markets, right? If the meme of Biden was actually a true meme of it and not Geo Bowden token, and its market price was reflected to what was happening and the relevance of Joe Biden over time, maybe it would contain information that would be super useful. So actually, we need like an infinite garden of these mechanisms, which, yes, this is becoming a kind of like zeitgeist thing, right? I believe in infinite games. And what we need is many, many new mechanisms all trying to tackle these problems. But to get to that, we need to completely fix the market structure. Now, I don't think I've got time to do this because I need to talk about decentralized AI. But basically, we've got a whole load of problems in the market structure. We need to stop thinking of tokens as equity. We need to find aligned capital. And frankly, the way the market is structured at the moment keeps out not just an infinite garden of mechanisms, but any mechanisms. We don't have any apps. We had one app that's done well, right? So the market structure is completely broken. This has annoyed me so much that I'm trying to basically like smash this to bits with a bunch of like tools for like opening up the market structure. There's no reason to me why projects can't be launched completely on-chain all the way through. So completely decentralized capital formation all the way through to token launching and like not touching the real world in any way. I don't see why that can't happen. This is a bunch of mechanisms that I made for these things. This one's quite fun, and that one. But yeah, I'm going to switch on. But if you're interested in like mechanisms and how to like break apart this kind of like market structure, join us in that group. I'll be going through kind of a range of mechanisms for how we can do this stuff. Now I've got about 5-6 minutes to talk about AI. This is something I believe. Knowledge is the most important commodity on the planet. And the sort of project that I'm interested in working on next is called FACT. And I'm interested in building systems about the deliberation of truth and how we might go about doing that. So the mechanism I mentioned earlier is a slightly more broader mechanism. I consider it a kind of core primitive in my sort of design space. And essentially, I call it semantic ballot voting. Essentially, you have like a list of tags that anyone can put a tag. That's a meme. It's a unit of meaning, it's an ontology, it's whatever you want it to be. Could be a proposal. It goes into a list, hence a ballot, and then you vote on it to sort it by preference. And then essentially that allows you to aggregate the preference of meaning across many participants. But the interesting thing is if you give those people an AI now to now talk about those hashtags, you generate a really complex data set, which is actually a kind of semantic graph and the mind of a DAO. This is like Wikipedia for AIs, right? It's a complete mess. No human could be able to read it, but it's absolutely lovely for LLMs. So now if you just imagine a DAO, like a good one, nice and simple, a community of people, it's token gated. You can only see what's inside if you're in it. It's sovereign, it's decentralized, it's social and consensus driven. It's a community of people, and they're all equipped with tools to govern an AI, many of the tools I was just talking about, and each other, right? So they are basically in a group, and they're governing a model together. So not one that Sam's governing, one that that group is governing on a topic. And in this group, those people are basically just chatting, they're curating, they're governing, and all of that is their data. They own it, they control it, and they can monetize it if they want. But essentially what they can do is then leverage an AI system to create something that's a bit like a hybrid of like Reddit and community notes, right? But in that specific topic. So memetically anchored in an ontology. And what they're engaging is a kind of like what I call semantic governance, which is essentially debating meaning. So I think this is potentially a new kind of namespace where we kind of build this kind of like conceptual playground where people can connect it with other bits of meaning and you create a network. So each of like these semantic nodes represents a unit of meaning. And then we can use this is actually a great governance mechanism for DAOs, by the way, because DAOs typically have this perfect open scope decision making where anyone can make a proposal about absolutely anything, which doesn't happen in organizations. Organizations have a scope and they bound their decision making to particular themes and ontologies, and we don't, right? So what we need to do is like semantically anchor what it is we do and what we don't do. And that will kind of help us with DAOs. I also think this is the approach for unifying expert systems, which is basically like the one like super creative thing an AI system has ever done is Move 37 in the game of Go, where AlphaGo beat the world's best Go player. It played in a way that no one has ever done before, and LLMs simply do not do that. So what we need is to kind of unify expert systems through these kind of neurosymbolic approaches. And, you know, I believe in doing DAOs in practice, right? We do lots of stuff, you know. I think there's, like, DAO governance use cases emerging in, like, protocol DAOs and DeFi. But it's really time to start taking these to the people. So we've been trying to, like, onboard people in citizens' assemblies and give them access to a quadratic voting app and getting them to create these data sets. And our goal is to create a agent for those people called London Voice, and it's kind of a digital representative of those people. It's difficult. Like, real-world adoption is hard. My wonderful co-founder, Matt, sent 50,000 invites to the people of London to get them to a citizens' assembly, and we got 12 hits. It's really bloody difficult. Literally flyers through their door with an invite. 50,000. It's hard work, but we need to do it. So really what we end up here is like a tag, a semantic tag, an ontology, London. What does London mean? The people of London decide what London means, and they create a data set. It's a rather sci-fi sounding semantic hypergraph, but essentially what our goal is to create a voice for those people. And I think this kind of ontological engineering is what's going to make alignment legible. So using these kind of tools, you'll be able to find out who is aligned with you, and potentially this is the way that we can do new kinds of public goods funding. So where this goes next is basically you need a governance system for this kind of stuff. There's some of those tags you probably don't want on your network. So this is a kind of swarm of agents. So imagine a swarm of agents with a group of people with each one, a kind of federated structure that kind of governs that network, and a sort of deliberative council structure, which essentially grows exponentially, and this scales by the Fibonacci sequence. So you keep adding these communities to sort of decentralize the overarching governance layer. And what this gives us is potentially factually accurate generations, because you can route queries across this network of experts and synthesize queries generated by genuinely independent minds. So what that means is that every concept can have a DAO. There will be thousands of DAOs a day, and every DAO will have an agent. So really what I think we could end up with is a kind of social network of AI-powered DAOs where each of these communities are building their own AI. So what do we need? We need more mechanisms, we need more innovation, we need good token economies, and we need to leverage AI that we control and govern in our own DAOs. And we need to do is build systems for planetary scale decision making to help us find new spaces to figure out how the world is working. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Nick. I see that the intersection between AI and Web3 is a really hot topic because we've had so many questions about it. So let's start with the first one. What's the meta layer risk or benefit of an AI model guiding the scope of decision making?
That's a very interesting question. There is risks and benefits, you're quite right. So I think the benefits is that we can build, like the models should be designed by the taste and needs of that group. Right, so we're creating a kind of new epistemology for that group, a shared framework of reality, a way of looking at the world, a way of synthesizing information. And that pluralism, that difference in opinion in the way that data is reified to a group of people is incredibly valuable and in fact is the point. The risks are is those people might be mental, right? And they might do some absolutely crazy stuff that you just wouldn't want perfectly synthesized in an AI. And like the prediction market things, you need the governance aspect on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to the next question. How do you think we can use AIs in a more collective way such that it protects us from the dangers that centralized AI will likely bring? What could their governance look like?
Again, wonderful question. And like this is exactly what I want to be exploring probably for like the next 10 years, right? At the moment, AI is a very sort of like unidirectional. It's a one-to-one relationship. We've yet to even crack open the design space of what it looks like for our group of people to leverage an AI. And how they do that is through governance. It's like, for me, it's the perfect use case for DAOs, right? It's a killer use case for DAOs, and I think that that is the question, precisely the question that we need to explore and crack open. So really what you need is these pluralistic decision mechanisms and lots of like deliberative decision making and building data pipelines and then finding ways for people to own that data and be rewarded by it. The system I'm designing, I want to be able to give people, to pay people per the generation as their LLM is used. We need to find ways, instead of just stealing people's data and monetizing humanity without their consent, we need to find ways of people doing that.
Yeah, I really like that idea of building the incentive structures in to make sure people are being paid for the work that they're doing.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
All right. Is there a scaling prerequisite for the AI models to work? Does it work with just 12 people? Are there any self-selection bias issues?
Really wonderful question, these, by the way. Actually, you'd be surprised, right? A lot of the feedback I've had with this is people going, oh, you need like billions of tokens for AIs to work. Not the case at all, actually. You can actually get incredibly good outcomes with like 12 people, especially if it, like this is like one of the core things, right? Because what we've got is this incredible like block and deluge of data, uncurated bilge from the internet that is what these bulk models are, and they're all like filling it up with like, we've got trillions of data points, it's absolutely brilliant, and it's like all garbage, right? And like the reality of it is, if you have highly curated data set that's structured in these kind of like ways that the people have carefully fine-tuned it, you can use things like RAG, which just brings out the data that humans have curated for it. So actually what you get is this like hyper-specialization. I think you can beat GPT on topics. Like I asked, you know, when did Biden resign for that Geo Bowden thing? And it said, Biden's still the president, right? Like the reality of these things is that what we need is real-time AIs, and that's what you can get. With 12 people, you can curate a topic and say what's happening now, basically.
Mm-hmm. And we have a little bit of time for the final question. So they were asking, is the data factually accurate or socially accurate? Because social consensus does not necessarily equate to truth.
Thank you for these questions. Absolutely wonderful, all of them. The answer is like truth is a social consensus problem, right? Like it's a kind of meta-stable thing. That means that when it can be like disturbed and we switch into a new equilibrium, like we used to think that Earth was the center of the universe, right? Like facts are a social consensus problem. And what we need to be able to see is what do people think the truth is and be able to look at the deliberative provenance all the way back and have that be your judgment call on whether it's truth or not.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Nick. Let's give a round of applause to him. Our next talk will be on.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to visit archive.devcon.org to watch and listen to all the other DevCon talks. We look forward to seeing you next time.